You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, and we are hosted with Hiveworks Comics at thehiveworks.com, and let's see here, I'm Fess of vargercomic.com, and with me we got Marie Terry of evilspacecat.com. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
I had a 4-day fever last week and got a cold immediately after, and I lost my voice a bit, so I couldn't do the web fiction readings I was supposed to, and I'm trying to keep my voice up for this episode.
Well, hopefully it'll hold out here.
Hopefully, otherwise I'll have to come in and re-record myself over myself. I was supposed to have another guest for this particular episode, so we might still get them later on. I might end up splicing them into the show and recording them later. We'll see. But this week is the very, very long-awaited, and I apologize it took this long, to do a printing episode. That is right. We're going to be talking about several print-on-demand services, as well as some other experiences that Marie Terry here has had, in which I've invited to the show because her information and knowledge and experience will be valuable.
Hopefully sharing lots of good tips for everybody.
Absolutely. And all right, before we get into it, I do want to mention that, yes, it is the 5th anniversary of the Webcomic Beacon!
Woo!
And I have yet to actually put together a sort of celebratory particular episode, but we've been basically, for the end of November and all through December, we're going to be having prizes and such. So if you go to webcastbeacon.com, there is a post that is the Webcomic Beacon's 5th anniversary, and I think with all the episodes that are coming out now, there'll be a link to that. We just had Yamano from Sister Claire and Chloe from Go Get a Roomie on. There was a prize associated with that episode. We had another episode before with Michael Corley, who is a professional performer, and he also does professional voice work for commercials. And we've had him on the show, and this is one right now. The deadline is December 1st, but it might get extended. But all you need to do is listen to that episode, Being a Successful Performer with Michael Corley, and listen for the prize keyword that's towards the end of the episode, and then email that to us, and you can be one of four people that can win a free personalized voicemail message from Mark Savory, myself, when I get my voice back, our announcer, Witchy Bunny, who speaks during the commercial breaks, and I think she's also going to be doing web fiction readings as soon as she gets her feet back on the ground. And also, or from Michael Corley, who we had on the show. And so right now, not a lot of people have emailed in, and this is just something extra fun that you can get in on. And so go ahead and listen to that episode. Send us the prize keyword. This show, not this show, but we're having the Double Clicks and Molly Lewis on the show on December 2nd. And we're trying to do that, ask them a question, and that's your entry. But that might also turn into a prize keyword episode as well. And the prizes would be the Double Clicks album Chainmail and Cello, and Molly Lewis's I Made an Album But I Eated It. And or it's I Made You a CD and I Eated It. And so you can win both of their albums. So that's the prize for that one for this particular episode, because the person who we're supposed to have on is Sean Granger from KingTractorPress.com, who sponsors the Webcomic Beacon frequently. He was going to be on the show as well. The prize for this particular episode, listen to the end of the show for the prize keyword, and you can win his three graphic novel set. He has Family Bones Volume 1 and 2 and Innocent Volume 1. I've read Family Bones. I actually really like it. These are graphic novels that he had. printed, and send us the prize keyword for that. Email it to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and you can win his 3 graphic volume print set. There's 2 prizes for this. So 2 people can win all 3 volumes. And there's some more prizes that are going to be coming on later in December. But this week, this episode is all about printing your comic. And with a lot of us, we're poor. So we usually look at print-on-demand services versus an offset versus an offset printing option. And a lot of us are already familiar with, like, Kablam and Comics Express. Maria and I are going to start talking about our experiences with some of these companies and hopefully help you get a better and better grasp of what's available to you. Marie, please talk now while I take a drink of water.
Okay. Well, I had my experience, just so everybody who's listening understands sort of where I'm coming from. I am a professional graphic designer in my day job. I work specifically in print. I've been working as a graphic designer for a university for about 13 years now. So I have printed a lot of stuff with a lot of printers. And I'm very well versed in the printing world and what you can actually expect from printers, like real offset printing, as well as digital printing from those same printers, and sort of what kind of things they can do for you, and what different printing processes are, and what, you know, nifty things you can do.
And so, just to let people know, whenever you hear digital printing, that's typically what any print-on-demand service is going to be doing, right?
Yes. Generally speaking, unless you are lucky enough to pick up what's called a gang job with somebody, I know it sounds dirty, but it's basically where you get to kind of piggyback your print job on somebody else's larger print job, you're not going to be able to afford offset. And not a lot of printers will actually offer that option, only for things like business cards and stuff. So most of the time when you're dealing with printing a comic, you're going to be talking about printing it out on basically a glorified, you know, huge photocopier. They have some amazing ones. Don't get me wrong. The digital printing / photocopying stuff today is incredibly awesome. Like they've just, Xerox and Canon have just like pushed it like wow. Especially Xerox. I'm a big fan of Xerox's machines. They're very, very, very cool. but onto the actual comics. I found myself in the position of printing the first volume of my comic Brimstone, and I was excited to try a couple of the printers that I'd been eyeballing and hearing things about for some time. And the first one I actually decided to try it was Kablam, because that was the one I heard the most about. Good and bad things. I'd heard that their print quality was quite good, but I kind of heard that their customer service was terrible. I did some initial research when I decided to use them, and they did worry me a little bit because of their submission requirements. One thing when you're always dealing with one of these things is make sure you read their submission requirements very, very carefully.
Or, the technical specs.
Yes, the technical specs, what they require from you as far as files are concerned. Obviously, the better job you do preparing your files, the more smoothly any print job goes. One of the big parts of my job as a graphic designer is called pre-press, which is basically preparing a file to go to a printer.
Kablam is, it's like they got into the game, and I have to say, I don't think they really knew what they were doing. I don't, because they're like the only ones that have like, why would you ask that? That is not how things work, you know?
Oh, yes. Their submission is, okay, just so that you know, people know and understand, is that generally in today's print world, most printers expect you to submit a PDF. They don't expect you to submit what Kablam asks for, which is individual TIFF files in RGB, which is like almost a dirty word to a graphic designer who's right. Working in the print world, because everything is printed in CYMK.
That's not true.
Well, yes, if you're working with a professional printer, it's in CYMK.
Yeah, if you're working with like
CYMK.
If you're working with like an offset printer, they are certainly going to be working in CMYNK, which is black.
And a lot of digital printers also require that as well. Like right. people who are professional printers who are working through a rip are going to ask for that because that is the actual toners, colors they use in the machine.
Right. But there is also such a thing as 6-color printing and 8-color printing.
Which, most of the time, unless you're specifying specific extra colors for specific reasons, you're going to be running on 4 colors.
Right.
Because that's all you need. And that's what people are printing, what the cost generally, cost efficient price point is for 4-color printing. So I have been printing for a very long time with a lot of different publications. And unless I'm specking spot colors, all those extra heads on the press are not being used. So, generally speaking, you're still putting it out in CYMK, and they're still, that's how they want their files. And I've never come across a printer who's asked me for anything but CYMK.
Now, apparently, however they have their printers, and they swear by it. Now, I haven't printed anything that started in RGB. Everything I've done has always been in CMYK, and then converted into RGB. They recommend that you convert it versus
For Kablam. We're talking about Kablam again.
They recommend that you convert it to RGB and not them convert it to RGB.
Yes, they want the files to be ready in RGB. Now I work in RGB to start with and convert to CYMK all the time because that's how I get most of my files when I receive them from like photography to doing illustration. I get the most options when I'm working in RGB.
Okay.
Like if you've ever converted anything to CYMK in Photoshop and then checked your menu options, a lot of them get grayed out. So you generally want to work in RGB, and that's the color space on the monitor anyway. Now, I do actually notice quite a difference between the one I did in CYMK that I submitted to my other printer and the one that I got from Kablam that I did submit in RGB. Now, that is like not to say that, you know, like they know their machine, they've calibrated their machine. I'm trusting them to know their side of what they're doing. Mm. And I can understand why they decided to do it. And that is that most people don't understand how the printing process works. And they're probably dealing with a lot of people who are first time sort of print virgins. So they're not going to know how to, they may not necessarily have the capacity to make a big PDF. They don't want to have to troubleshoot a PDF file because it is harder than just to go in and fix a TIFF file. But on the downside, if you're doing a very large print job, this could be a big headache in terms of the prep. I found 32 pages to be trying to turn them into TIFFs and gather them all up into a folder and make sure they were all to their spec, because they do have a little template that you can use, which is helpful to make sure that you are within their safe zone and you got your bleed and all that jazz. So that
one thing I found out with their zones, do not use, if you might be printing somewhere else, I'd almost recommend not using Kablam's specs as a standard, because their margin's a lot more generous than any other printer that I've come across. I've actually had to make more white area around the comic to submit it to other print-on-demand services because Kablam's margins are too big.
When I did my file, I did it to Kablam specs. Mm-hmm. I originally did it with the intention of printing with Kablam. And I resized my comic to fit there, and I actually rejigged a bunch of pages because it wasn't quite in the right aspect ratio that they wanted. But I actually didn't mind leaving the extra space because there's something called creep in books. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But when you make a book and you fold it, you can easily see creep when you take a bunch of pages, like say take a bunch of 11 by 17 pieces of paper, fold them in half, which is how you get an 8.5 by 11 book. And you'll notice that some of the pages in the middle will stick out a little more than the pages at the end. This is called creep, and they cut that off. So leaving a little extra space in your file on the edges is not necessarily a bad thing when it comes down to trimming.
No, so I was saying I've used the Kablam template and then went over to other print-on-demand services.
That's what I'm saying as well. I'm saying that I did the same thing, and I didn't mind having that extra space just to account for creep.
I had to shrink all the art to fit the size.
I didn't have to I didn't have to change a thing.
I remember having to change a little bit, and which made me have to go back in and remake sure all the color realigned with itself.
Well, in this case, I didn't have to, but I mean, you have to always check every individual printer that you submit to, because right. every single one of them will have their own little things that niggle about their files.
And there's a little bit difference between if you have a white border and frames versus if you have a comic with pages that go all the way out in with colors out to the edge. Because you, when they're cut, when they're cutting and they can see you, you have specific frames and such, they can tell exactly where things are versus like if it's all in art to the edge.
If you're going to put art to the edge, you have to make it deliberate and put that bleed on there, which is the overlap, right. the part they're going to cut off to make it a nice edge where there's no like little white space or something like that. So it's a nice clean edge.
Right.
That's what you have to put on there.
The template I had used that ended up being used in Kablam, because I think I started the comic and they changed the template on me. So I have these comics with border edges that, are, it's like, I'm looking at like where like the copyright at the bottom is there and like the, where the edge of the panels are and where I, where we have like dialogue balloons, it goes mm-hmm. right to the edge of where the art is all the time, constantly. And, before the edge of the paper and the art, I've maybe got a range from a half a centimeter to 3 millimeters. So it gets kind of a close crop in some of these.
Well, when I did mine and I specifically relayed out all of my type for print as opposed to web type, mm-hmm. I reduced the size of the copy because actually when you're reading a piece of paper, you can actually read a lesser font size than when you're reading on the screen. And I wanted to reduce it to save space. I actually moved all of my bubbles because I was saving the space by reducing the size of the font. I moved all of my bubbles well inside the margin to make sure that they wouldn't crash into the edges of the thing. And I have a black border actually around all of mine and it goes off. And I didn't include copyright in the bottom. I've got that elsewhere.
Yeah, that's something I didn't need to have there, though.
Yeah, I didn't put on page numbers either, which is actually something I probably should do. I mean, it was a learning experience for me to do it on my own when I didn't have somebody, you know, looking over my shoulder going, hey, should you do this? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like overall, like I didn't have any problems, but I did really put into account a lot of the stuff I've learned over the years regarding safe zones. And when printers say don't put stuff here, I always give them actually a really generous margin because I don't know how well they operate their machines. And I want to be absolutely right. crystal that I'm away from their edges. So when I did put mine was not originally formatted in their template. Like I did not design it with their template in mind. Mm-hmm. I actually did the comic totally the wrong size. I had to resize everything, but I had really nice, I always work in really nice high res files. Like my files are huge. So it wasn't a big deal for me just to basically make them bigger and rearrange a few panels and then re-letter it. It did take a little while because they're, you know, 32 pages of re-lettering in a TIFF file of all things is annoying, but, I did do it and it did work out and I did reprint it eventually. Like I did actually almost sell out of the ones that I did at Kablam, over the course of a year. And I decided to reorder for the following year. And I got, I went to a different printer that I had been followed by on Twitter and I'm like, ooh, a real printer. Awesome. I can use a PDF. Woo.
Well, let's wait excited. before we get off Kablam. I do want to mention a lot of stuff we've been talking about while we're talking about Kablam can be applied to many other printers as well. So, so we're going to avoid some overlap here, but I did want to talk about a little bit more about the Kablam experience.
I was just talking about the file specs. I haven't even begun about my experience.
Well, with a lot of things, when I set out to do this in January of 2012, again, apologize that it's taken about a year to do this episode. But I had already worked with Kablam because I've heard stuff about Comics Express.com. And I hear a lot of things. So I was going to give everything a fair shake. So I started with Kablam and, Let's see here. I've used them for a while, and I printed my 32-page full-color comic book of Ardra, The Road Trip. There was a different cover that I had, and I changed out the cover. And they said when you change any file inside, the whole process has to be redone. So I treated it as if I restarted it for the purposes of this analyzation. But, you know, you go on there, they got like a calculator. And even since I've done this, they have changed things of how you can go up to 44 pages for a saddle stitch before it turns into a perfect bound. I've never used their perfect bound, so I can't say anything about Kablam's perfect bound, but I have heard stuff, but it's print on demand. And there's nothing that can hurt you by going and getting one printed if you are just putting feelers out there. If you have plenty of time to work with and experiment with your options, there's no problem with going to multiple printers and getting one thing printed from a print on demand sort of thing. So that's what I did. So except for Kablam, since I've already had that experience, all the other ones were a lot more new and foreign to me. But I've always had really good service with Kablam. Now, I have to say that there was a little bit of a problem with the Ardra cover because I changed the cover and apparently where, because I also, what's really nice about Kablam is that they offer barcodes for just $10. And it's a barcode that is used when you print through Kablam. And so my Ardra comics on the back have a barcode on it that specifically ties in to their company and their catalog, their print catalog. And so that's really, really nice. And just for $10 per project. So I got that put on there and that changes the files there as well. Which can be a bit of an issue because what happened is I had ordered some books and I didn't get the one with the barcode on it. So it was a problem that they admitted they had like the old files still in one area and it didn't get refreshed, blah, blah, blah. They ended up crediting me like half my order or something like that. So when they make a mistake, I've been apologized to and I've been credited an amount and it's like, you know, this is really, really nice. I mean, granted there was still a mistake, but I felt like I was being handled fairly well. And I don't know if it was because, you know, who I am in the webcomics podcast industry or just because I'm a customer and I've been with them for a while. But, you know, that was my experience.
Well, I did have when I was printing, I did elect to have the ad in there and on my book in order to bring the price down. I work frequently where there's ads in publications and I didn't see it as being an issue. To put their ad in to get a couple of bucks knocked off the price. I did unfortunately find later that I had specified it in the wrong place. I wanted it on the inside back cover, not on the back cover. So I ended up with a bit of an odd back cover. The back cover ended up on the inside back page as opposed to on the back page itself and then the ad on the inside back cover. I did also, at the time, there was a postal strike in Canada, and I asked them to ship it via UPS, and I paid a little extra to do so, and they didn't. They shipped it via regular mail, and I did complain about that because I had paid extra to have it shipped by UPS, and I did get a credit back. And they did respond in a fairly timely fashion, so I have no problem with their response. It was polite. I think they might have been annoyed, but it was at least polite. So I didn't have a problem getting a hold of them. I did receive my product on the date that I was told I would receive it. So the postal strike didn't actually affect me, which was nice. They went back to work faster than people, I guess, thought they would. Mm-hmm. And I received a box that was well packed, and the box was beat up, but the product inside was fine. So my cat had a very good time with the shreds that were in there. It was packed with shredded material from obviously other print jobs gone bad. So
yeah, the one thing that a lot of print on demand services that we've gone through will offer a discount per book If they get to put an ad somewhere in it, inside front cover, inside back cover, and back cover, or Kablam for sure has this. And I have to say my 32-page full-color comic of Ardra was, if I had no ad whatsoever, they'd be $3.63 per book. Now, this does not include shipping. I didn't include shipping in any of my calculations because shipping can fluctuate greatly between how many you order versus that shipping price of how well that shipping price will relatively stay the same or go up just a little bit per how many 20s or hundreds that you buy. So I didn't factor that at all because that's a cost that you manage. But with the ad and with Ardra, I did the ad on the back because I had no special art for the back, and that turned out to be $3.03 per book. So that's a pretty significant difference between, because on the back cover is their best offer.
Yes.
For the amount off, because it's visible, you know, right away. And, you know, that's how comic books are printed. You see that in comic book stores. There's typically an ad on the back. No big deal. And I got mine shipped to me relatively quickly. It might be because most of the book was already, you know, inside and checking the cover for an approval process wasn't that much of a deal.
I didn't actually get an approval on my version from Kablam. I didn't opt for any kind of approval. I think it was actually cheaper without the approval, but I was fairly confident in my ability to lay it out. I probably would have caught the issue with the back cover if I had done a proof, but I wanted to save as much money as I could.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the proof. And I don't think they do a proof anymore.
Actually, they don't do a proof anymore. They used to, and they don't anymore.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a nerve-wracking experience, especially if you're used to seeing something, even a soft proof, which is when they send you like a PDF and you just look it over, or like a hard copy where they actually physically send you a book. Mm-hmm. Obviously, doing proofing is much easier if you're working locally, but, you know, I'm in Canada. This is down in the state somewhere. So,
right.
Obviously, that wasn't going to be a problem. So I was a little nail-biting, I have to admit, not seeing any form of proof or ability to go in and see what my files looked like after I uploaded them. There was a bit of nail-biting there. But overall, actually, my quality of my product was very high when I got it.
Yeah, I was really happy with my printing as well. And I'll talk about comparing the prints to each other later. But I was really happy. I do know that when you do gradients with like large background gradients with digital printing, you can run into that area where you can maybe see like stepped lines of gradient.
It's actually called banding.
Banding.
That's the actual correct term for it. And yes, I use a ton of gradients. I am very bad for this. And actually, I was really pleased that there's almost no banding visible at all in my comic. It was very beautiful. Like the color is great. It's very vibrant. All of the colors really pop. Mm-hmm. There's no kissing. There's no uneven tone. I had no complaints. I was actually shocked at the quality of the print that I received. I was mm-hmm. completely happy, and that's very difficult to do.
Now, one thing I will say about the last two pages in my comic book were actually black and white, but as like CMYK. Now, some people on the show may have heard when we had Melissa Kircher on talk about how to do proper, you know, coloring with an undercolor and all that sort of thing. So, but I gotta say, like the black and white CMYK I got looked really nice. But here's the thing with Kablam that I really noticed, and this might be all for digital printing as well. The black is almost kind of raised.
Coverage is always an issue in digital printing. Now, I've got black on mine. Mine is very heavy, color heavy. Like I have like ink all over the page. Like it is very, very dark in places. And mine's pretty smooth. It's always going to be though, like on some pages where it's a little less so, like the black looks almost raised and shiny. That's very typical of toner printing.
Okay.
Okay. It's very typical.
I wasn't sure about that, but that is something to note.
Yes. It will be very shiny. Like it will not be dull color, generally speaking, or if it is, it kind of looks funny. But it is a toner based process as opposed to an ink based process. So there is this shiny kind of raised thing, and the more ink coverage you have, like doing anything like rich blacks where you add like a little bit of blue to it or anything like that, is just going to add to it. And you have to watch for cracking in that case, in particular things like the cover. You got to watch for that.
And my last thing on the Kablam thing, because we've got to take a break here soon, I had done my comic in CMYK complete with, you know, layers, color holds, undercolor, that sort of thing, an extra black line, which I'll go into after the break. But I converted mine to RGB, like, because Kablam wanted that. And the product I got was very similar to how it looks on my computer screen since I start in CMYK. What about your experience?
I work generally in RGB to start because it offers me the most options to do all of my fancy magic-y effects, because the comic is very got a lot of special effect type stuff going on, lightning and so forth, so I use glows and all that sort of thing to make it look nice. And I didn't convert it over to CYMK because they wanted the RGB or the RGB files. And I actually find that it's almost more vibrant than my screen, but my screen is actually calibrated to CYMK output. So I'm not entirely surprised that it is, but I actually like it this way because the darkness, it is very dark. There's a lot of black, a lot of contrast, a lot of reds, which are notoriously difficult.
Reds and bright greens.
Yeah. Lots of bright colors. Cyans.
Yeah, straight cyan.
It's actually just pops right off the page. You're gorgeous in here. The subtle variations are just amazing.
But it still didn't look like how it looked on your monitor, and that is still an issue for a lot of people.
But my monitor was calibrated for CYMK output. So the thing is when you work in print as long, you know not to trust your monitor because your monitor is a liar. Unless it is calibrated to the output of the machine that you're going to output it on, there's always going to be at least some variation. So I'm not actually unsurprised in any way that it varied. I'm actually happy that it looks so good on paper because it actually was duller on my screen. It pops right off the page so nicely.
I'm not entirely sure if my screen is actually calibrated to CMYK.
Have a actual calibration machine you stick on your monitor.
Oh, no.
Then it's not calibrated.
Okay.
It's probably actually calibrated more for RGB because that's less light color space. So your monitor's always in RGB unless you actually make a profile with a little machine that they have that you can buy that actually makes a special color profile that dims your monitor down to actually reflect CYMK colors.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody out there has had experience with not calibrating their screen and making their comic in RGB, especially if you're doing lots of like flashy effects and gradients and such, and have printed with Kablam, we'd like to know your experiences as well. And you can email us, or you can just post a comment when this episode posts. But we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So, Marie, besides doing the Webcomic Beacon newscast, what other projects do you currently have going on?
Aside from my comics and stuff?
No, like aside, because like I only really know you from the newscast. So,
oh, well, I do two comics online. I do one called Shifters and one called Brimstone. I also, I mean, I do general art and graphic design and stuff as needed for various people and clients and so forth. I am, I'm not doing really, like, I don't do my own podcast or anything like that. I'm just involved with, the newscast and, right now, pretty much I'm just focusing on the comics. I do, like, crafts and stuff, and I do a lot of conventions. Pretty much that's really mainly what I do is my webcomics. So
when you do conventions, it's for your webcomics?
For my webcomics and the crafting, I have a sort of a partner that we do stuff together. We're working on costume pieces, doing things like ears and tails and paws and hats and things like that, sewing projects. I also have done jewelry and other doodads, t-shirts, things like that.
Okay.
So a lot of it's experimentation. Buttons. I'm really, really well known for my buttons, my button making. Yeah, that's really my moneymaker is my buttons. That kind of just blows everything else out of the water. But, you know, it's been only in the last 2 years that I've really been on the convention scene. I only do the local conventions in Vancouver, of which there are suddenly many. And, you know, it's actually kind of forcing me to change some of my business and look at it a little bit in terms of, like, okay, what really do I need to carry? Who's buying what? And, you know, I have to look back at my data that I've collected from the last, like, 2 years and make some hard decisions this year anyway about what I'm going to carry next year and what I'm going to try to fob off on Etsy. And
do you do anything with shirts at all?
Yeah, I have. I have done shirts. Mostly I've only really had money to do one shirt, not that I haven't done many, many other shirts. And I'm also like, I've done like through my work, I've done tons of shirts. I've done like entire lines of clothing. It's crazy, including embroidery. I'd like to do embroidery at some point cause it's cool. And logos always look awesome on hats. but I haven't had the money to buy the quantities necessary. I did find a person who does have a very good price on direct printing shirts that I did a shirt through, but I've discovered a number of things about making shirts that I need to apply my principles of making buttons to making shirts. And somehow I need to find somebody who has one of those print direct machines that prints on black. So I need to find somebody who's got one that does black shirts. And that's a specialty machine, apparently. So,
well, yeah, because, well, I know
it has to put down a white layer first.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Even with silk printing, depending on what color you want, you might have to do a hit of white underneath that.
Yeah, well, if you want to do, but the problem is with silkscreen, and I totally respect this, is that they obviously have minimum orders. And finding a small minimum order on a silkscreen, unless you're doing it yourself, which I have printed white on black on silkscreen before, and it's difficult. I actually own a four-screen silkscreen press. I have one with screens. My problem is, I don't have anywhere to expose the screens. I don't have a dark room and I don't have sinks that are big enough. I don't have a laundry room with like big sinks or anything that I can do my exposing in. I have nothing. I don't have a dark room. It's like, it drives me crazy.
Marie, that's so sad.
I know. I could use this press. I could make shirts and I have the emulsion and everything else. I have all the supplies I need except somewhere to do it.
You got a shed?
No. I live in a townhouse.
Oh.
I don't have anywhere. I don't even have a garage. I have like a lean-to. I literally have no room that I have that is actually could turn into a dark room. And my other problem is I have nowhere to do the screens. Like, my sink isn't big enough. My kitchen sink is not big enough. I'm like, oh, God darn it.
Maybe you need to find other people to go in and get a studio.
I've actually been talking to some people about that. So it's one of the things about the conventions is nice is that it actually connects with other people. And there's a few of them who are looking at possibly getting some kind of studio space in Vancouver or a little bit further out than that. And there's actually is one group. There is a comic collective out here. That's a group of local comic creators that have kind of created a collective that have recently gotten a studio space. I kind of know people who are on it. There's a few people that I've met that are a part of this group, and they've kind of been wanting me to go out to it. So I might be like, oh, hey guys, I have a silkscreen press. Do you have space in your studio to do black room or dark room stuff? Either that, or I have to somehow find somebody in the university in the fine arts department who has a dark room who's willing to let me do stuff. But I don't want to schlep this thing around because it is heavy.
Yes.
It is like cast iron and heavy. Oh, it's industrial quality. Like you need a friggin' warehouse to use this thing.
So anyway, print comics. Let's go ahead and move on.
Okay, so we want to talk about Aria Direct now?
Let's talk about Comics Express, because okay. That's another one that usually gets brought up in the same breath as Kablam.
Yes.
And this is, hang on, let me look, because I never know, I always spell it wrong. Oh, wait, it's Comi, C-O-M-I, Express.com. So I don't know if it's supposed to be Comics Press or Comics Express.
Mm-hmm.
But because when you say Comic Press, you think of the WordPress, you know, plugin or theme.
Comi Express?
No, well, Comic Express.
I know. Okay. But it's like, how you write and pronounce
Comi
it.
Comi Express. Yeah. So Comi Express, word of mouth referral I got for this. I forgot how I originally found out about them. I've also heard stuff about Comic Express, just like you heard stuff about Kablam.
Mm-hmm.
My experience was not good with them. Now, to be fair, this what I'm about to say might be why I had some trouble. But there's an email I signed up with it, and I got emails through that one. But on my Gmail, I have it forwarded to a different email. I apparently was answering these emails through the wrong email, which may have been responsible for why I had a severe delays. I ordered one comic, and 3 months go by, nothing. And I brought it up, and they say, that's weird. And so let's look into it. So apparently they were going to look into it, but they didn't tell me anything for a month, and I emailed again. I haven't heard anything. You said you look into it. What's going on? And then that point is when I got an answer. And then that's also when I realized that maybe what I just said was the problem. So it took a while to get it. Now, I'm trying to give you all the information here. I don't know if this is typical or if it was really that email problem that was the thing and their services, their automatic services were confused. But I did eventually get it. I got it with an ad on the back, so very, very similar. And it ended up being $2.92 per book, so it was cheaper. But let's see here. Now, this is where I noticed a color difference between Kablam and Comics Express. Kablam printed a little bit redder overall, and Comics Express printed a little bit yellower. I don't know the reasons for this, but I'm going to also suspect that even from if you print now through any of them, another 6 months from now when you print again, you might also have some differences between the same company, because that's just how digital is it not?
Generally speaking, there is calibration software that they are supposed to run on their machines fairly regularly. Obviously, the time between their calibrations will vary, and depending on their calibration software, the make of their printer, there will be oftentimes shifts to one color or another. It's just happens. When you're in the offset world, it happens a lot. There's actually a process called press checking where the designer or the person printing responsible for the printing will actually physically go to the press and go, tweak the yellow, I don't like that. So it is kind of one of those things. I mean, obviously, we can't do that in this situation. We can't go, hey, you know, your cyan's off. But you just have to kind of be aware that it's possible that they're shifting. You can't account for it necessarily, but you have to kind of expect that there probably will be a little color shift and kind of be forgiving of that as long as it doesn't, like, destroy everything, like everything's pink.
Mm-hmm.
But it is there is, generally speaking, a difference in color from machine to machine, from calibration to calibration.
Right, right. And I do have to say that my Kablam cover printed better than my Comic Express cover. I deal with, like, very, very flat, little bit of shadow, a little bit of highlight coloring when I do things. But yeah, between them, the color difference is very noticeable. And that's almost to the point, like, if you saw them individually, it's like, yeah, that looks about right. But when you put them together, it's like, wow, interesting. Have you ever used Comic Express?
Not me personally, but I did actually table with somebody quite a while back now though, who did use them for their printing, and it was black and white, and the quality was okay. I'm sure they've gotten new machines since that time, because this was quite a while ago. It was a number of years ago. I don't recall them complaining about any particular problems. She did mention at the time that took a while to get her product, but she had a lot of time, so she wasn't really that concerned. Okay. When I looked at it, when I actually handled the comics, they seemed fine. But like I said, they were black and white, which is sometimes more forgiving than full color.
Oh yeah.
So it was hard to say, obviously, in terms of color shifting in a black and white comic. But that's about the only experience I've had with seeing their work. She didn't complain. I have heard other people complain about delays and orders disappearing and having to go through a process and not getting stuff on time. So, but I don't want to slag it and just say that is complete hearsay. I don't have anything to back that up. It's just what people have told me,
right,
in passing on various forums and stuff when I've brought this topic up.
Right. And there's nothing, again, keeping you from going ahead and making an order.
Yep.
And seeing for yourself. And that is what I recommend to anybody, especially if you're not the last-minute type of person. Because I think taking a look at what your options are open to you is going to be ever important, especially if you are a small time and you don't have a lot of audience to be able to do a Kickstarter to use the big boys printing company.
Or even if you want, you know, like it's very common practice to ask for a sample or to purchase a sample from a prospective printer. Most of the time, they will give you samples for free. They have a sample that they're willing to send you for free if you don't want to have something of your own printed.
Like a blank book even.
Yeah, a blank book, or even they often have like a thing that shows sort of the range of their product's capabilities, like their particular press's capabilities. So they will usually send you that, you know, for shipping cost or nothing. So you can get that, or you can just buy a product from them and see what it looks like and how fast you get it. So
I've actually tried to – I still kind of got the files somewhere. I tried to develop a sort of – printer key book, complete with like all different types of the colors, RGB, CMYK, gradients, and percentage steps. Basically, print the color book so that you could like take this color book, compare it to like the actual. I'd have like the files online somewhere, so people can look at whatever printing company and just sort of like compare it. It's something I wanted to do, but then I started doing like this printing thing, and it's like, you know, I don't think it matters as much to do something that grand of a scale when you're working with these print on demands for how, at least in my situation.
Not really. I mean, for me, I've submitted the same artwork to multiple printers, and that's sort of how I would gauge a printing quality is to basically use the same files. I mean, you could create a very small comic if you want to just test them out. Not even like, you know, just take some of your artwork and throw it in basically their format, whatever they wanted to, and have them printed into a book and staple it. And just use it if you can order one, because there are some companies where you can't order just one, but they do small runs, like 25 up. But you know, if you, this is why I decided to do a full-on comic, and I just decided to skip the test and just say, okay, well, let's see how they handle a file. I have a reasonable expectation from my experience mm-hmm. of what it should look like. Like, I'm not going to blame myself because I know what files I'm doing. I mean, obviously, if you're not as experienced in print, you may want to give it a kind of a test run and just because you may find that there are things you need to tweak and change and adjust just through learning experience. I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for 13 years. When I started, man, did I screw up. So I was just lucky. I was screwing up on somebody else's dollars. So when you're learning this process, and it is a learning process, you're going to want to probably tweak and change things. So doing like a one-off, like what Comic Express and Kablam offer is an opportunity to try it out with just one comic, see what you think, what it looks like, how your files look, especially if you're uncertain about what you're doing. I know it can be nerve-wracking, mm-hmm. but it does a little practice before you do a big buy of, you know, like for me, a big buy was 25 comics, but you know, you might think that the same thing or even 10 comics might be big for you. You want to make sure that you're doing something, you're happy with your files and what they're looking like.
Yeah. And, I do want to touch on a little bit of coloring, once again, when we had Melissa on, she's worked professionally and working with CMNYK color printing, and she knew a lot of different things. Like when if you're printing on newsprint, that's going to be different. If you're printing on like glossy, and mm-hmm. you have to adjust the percentage of colors that you're using accordingly. And sometimes, at least in the old days, sometimes you wouldn't have printers that would put on a full 100%. They'd max out at a certain point, but I don't think that's the case anymore. But it's like she says that a difference between one color that's similar to another color next to it should be maybe 20%. Otherwise, you might not see that color difference. Now, when I did that and printed it with like all of these, I've noted because there were some that I was like 15%. Or it's just almost 20% difference. And it's like, really, honestly, she's right. Because I'm looking at some of these and you can kind of not tell that there is a shadow here or a highlight there. So you can't go, and I think this goes for offset printing as well. There's going to be sometimes that fluctuation, more certain colors more than others. I'm not sure if that's been your experience.
Depending on what it is. When there's like fluctuations on the press, I mean, they're screens and like screens are when you're using 10%, 20%, blah, blah, blah. Those should be fairly good. There are some ranges, especially of really light screens and certain colors that it becomes like almost impossible for the printer to reproduce. It's just not possible, especially in digital where they're actually not as high resolution as a offset would be. So fine details start getting lost, especially light shadows and things like that. So if there's not enough contrast, it'll start doing. But definitely paper stock makes a difference, even in digital printing. If the color stock is a warm white, is a cool white, is a bright white, is going to affect the color that is being put mm-hmm. on top of it. Right. And then the texture of the paper and the quality of the paper will also affect the print job. Now, they're still printing at their, you know, at the full colors that they can print at. But depending on the papers, like how much it'll take, if it cracks, if it peels, if it's calibrated in a particular way to be the best optimal coverage for that type of paper, you know, you never know. It depends on what that's why you got to communicate with your printers, right. Where that is like really helpful, that you have a very communicative printer to help you get the best product. Obviously something like Kablam or I don't know that they had, you had a little bit of Comic Express, but they weren't particularly talkative to you, were they, Comic Express? They weren't constantly talking to you, talking about your order, asking you questions or anything.
Nobody asked me questions except one company we've not gotten to yet, but we'll get to that.
They're not super talkative, so you're not really having a dialogue with them. It's more like you send them their stuff and you get your stuff back, you know, assuming nothing goes wrong.
When Dead Winter was printed, when Riley printed Dead Winter, they came. They were with a company, and Diana used the same company for her Girlbot book, and I forget the name of the company. If I find out, I'll add it in the show notes or in a comment. But they came back to Riley and they said, "You use a lot of black. You're going to want to go with a heavier stock of paper, otherwise it'll completely bleed through."
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, when you're working with like a professional printer, there are certainly companies that will hold your hand more for a first-time comic printer because also their quality is reflected upon them. So they got more of an incentive to help you out.
And even when you've been working with them for years and years and years, and there are some printers I have extensive relationships with, even then, every file they look at, they will scrutinize and give you, if you are working with a professional printer that is very communicative and they really care about their work, they will say to you, "Hey, you know, this gradient is too light. I don't think it'll print well." Or, "Yes, you've got a lot of black. Let's look at maybe a more robust stock. Would you consider, you know, changing this or that or the other thing?" Or, "Oh, it's too close to the margins," or, "This is going to crack when it's saddle stable." So they know their product, really know what they're doing, and they will help guide you to the best product. Now, obviously, this is not so much the case with some of the, with the two cases we've got here, is they kind of are expecting you to sort of just follow directions and sort of pray that it comes out well. They're not going to guide you as much. They give you templates and stuff to sort of self-guide yourself, but they're not going to warn you if they think it's going to crack or it's going to be too dark or anything like that.
Right, right. And I'm trying to pull up one of my Ardra files because I was also told another thing, especially when you're doing like dark browns and like doing grays and blacks, because if you are printing in CMYK, there's a certain percentage that was recommended that you don't want to go over. It was like, if you got one color that's at 100%, I mean, if you got two colors that are over 60%, you really got to watch the third color. And I forget what, I don't know if there was a magical number, but when you do that, and I'm looking at some of these right now, when you have especially three colors, especially if you are mixing black in with any of those colors, your color in the book when printed can kind of look like it's muddy.
Yeah.
Like it has a texture to it almost.
Well, when you mix too many colors, you basically end up, it just ends up being mud. especially in offset, it's like too much color goes down. It can like kind of bleed into the paper. The paper can absorb too much and it can sort of start looking kind of fuzzy. That doesn't really happen with digital as much because the toner doesn't allow that to happen. But it can do something called cracking. The tone coverage is too high and it gets kind of built up and it looks like a little ridge almost on the paper. This is especially true when you start adding colors into black, something called rich black, and you don't mix it correctly. There's actually a formula for mixed black. I can't remember. Or rich black.
I believe it's 60, I think, 40, 60, 40, 40, 100.
Yeah. Ultimately, you shouldn't have over 100% of, you know, you can't do like 100% cyan and 100% black. You shouldn't do that. You should break
never, never with black, but sometimes you can only get certain colors like 100% C and 100% yellow for like
green. Certain greens or whatever. Yeah, definitely like those ones, but black is a special case. You want to watch that. But you know, like, yeah, browns usually typically do have some black in them. So you kind of want to watch that.
I personally would not for, I think if you have 100-100, I would be wary about approaching 60% with a third color. And if you are going to be adding a little bit of black to that, the maximum black I would do would be 10% maybe. But if you have two colors in black, I'd be wary about approaching 20 to 30%. as far as getting that texture. Now, this is also where I wanted to do that color book, just to really experiment and just go wild and just try all these different combinations just to see what the heck it would look like. But
well, I mean, you could, I suppose you could, if you really wanted to really just test them, is I know a lot of them offer a printing option, a poster option, or you can like order a poster, is you do what is a series of Pantone swatches. Pantones are a set color variants. They actually come in a book. And it's a bit of an expensive book, but if you're a really serious print nut, you should have one. But this book basically has these formulas of these pre-mixed inks that have these very specific colors. Like, all companies have Pantone colors in their identities and specific colors that they use. And these come out every single time the same color because they're mixed to a very specific thing. And there's CYMK equivalents of these colors. And when you print them off on a machine, and you can take them and compare them against the book and see where the variances are occurring and how much they're occurring, because it actually breaks the colors down into like a formula, and you can do those sort of testing and stuff.
I'd be kind of interested in that if you have any links to specifically what you're talking about.
I can dig one up. I have one somewhere. I think I have one at work or whatever. I can probably dig it up on like Monday and send it to you.
Well, we're gonna move on to one last company before we go to our next break, and that's RA Comics Department, or Depot
Direct,
isn't it? Well, it's racomicsdirect.com. Now, I think I was ended up being approached, or either they approached me on Twitter, or somebody directed me to them on Twitter, because I've been posting. I'm going to be doing this sort of like print experiment sort of thing. So I got in touch with them, and they're the ones that have 25 book minimum print. And one thing that they really boast about is a very quick turnaround time for your order.
Yes, and I put that to the test. I contacted them through Twitter, basically I had 3 weeks to a convention, and I had the files more or less done. So I basically asked them, okay, can you turn this around in this short period of time? Because by the time it was near the end of the third, I basically had a 2 week turnaround, and like on Kablam, that would be silly. They don't even allow that. So, and 2 weeks is actually not bad for most printers. And they were like, yep, no problem. You get us the stuff. We'll get there. And they were very communicative and very friendly. And I had no trouble, getting the thing. And I asked them about their file specs, and they answered all of my questions. I had lots of questions for them.
Did you get
an ad? And they took PDFs, which was awesome.
Did you get an ad at the back?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I asked about an ad, and they're like, okay. It sounded like it wasn't something that they normally offered.
I don't think it is, because I, from what I can tell, they're actually kind of an offshoot of a bigger printer, which actually made me feel more comfortable. It's like National Print or something like that. Anyway, but they seem to be an offshoot of a bigger printer, like a smaller division of a bigger printer. So I was like, oh, yay, I'm dealing with a real printer. Sweet. So I did up my PDF. I took my files, my TIFF files. I converted them all to CYMK. I put them all into InDesign and made a nice, beautiful, shiny PDF that I was very happy with. And I sent them the PDF, and I got a soft proof back, which made me ecstatic. It looked great, and it was fast. I mean, they got it to me like the next day, and I was like, great, I approved it. I went into their system, which was easy, and I approved it, and it was all great. And they got it on the press, and by the time I actually kind of got everything turned around, because it did actually take me a couple of days to do, because I only could do it in the evening, and it took me a couple of days to get my files prepped the way that you would normally prep them for pre-press. And by this time, it was getting lessened. Like, it was about a week and a half we had in there. By the time I got it approved, it was like Thursday night, I think. And they basically turned it around for me in about 3 days to ship it back to me in Canada, to rush ship it back to me to get it in time for my convention. So, and I actually didn't get it on the Friday. I got it on the Saturday, which was like, oh, and that was because it came in a parcel and I had to go pick up the parcel. But it was shipped very quickly. It was printed and shipped like within 3 days. Like, it was like amazing turnaround. I was just like, wow, you guys rock. And they were communicative through the whole time. Like, I loved their service. Their service was great. They talked to me. They asked me questions. You know, they let me ask my questions. They asked me questions, which was awesome. And, you know, like, they made me feel like they really wanted my business and wanted my work to look the best that they could make it.
And, let's see here. I I ended up going through. I might have had an actual error on the site, and I had to get that sort of fixed. Yeah, the shipping calculator was broken on the site, so I had to go back in, and that might have been a little bit of a delay with something. But I think I did. Let's see here. I did the 25 minimum, and they said they just took off $10 for the ad at the back, and I got an RA Comics Depot ad at the back of the 25 that I got. And otherwise, regularly, it would have been $3.54 each. But I had also asked specifically for the ad, and that made it $3.14 each. And then shipping turned out to be 52 cents each, because I was, you know, fairly standard.
It was a little more expensive for me just because I'm doing international shipping and I wanted it rush. So mm-hmm. I did pay a little extra, so it's not really a fair comparison. But you know, we'll go with your prices because you're also in the U.S. and it's probably where most people are going to be shipping to and from.
This is also January 2012, so prices could have gone up or down.
Yes, it could definitely shift in that time frame. I noticed that it was comparable as far as price was, because when I ordered originally from Kablam, I was rushing as well, so it actually made my order a little more expensive than it would normally be if I gave them their full time. Mm-hmm. It's worth mentioning, I think that Kablam does have a very long turnaround. It takes, like, if you want their full discounted price, their full, like, what they quote you on their little calculator on their site, you have to be working about 2 months in advance.
Yes.
You need to give them, like, a number of weeks, and weekends don't count for them, so you have to make sure that you're giving them business weeks.
They do give you a guarantee ship by date, though, and you can adjust your shipping after you see that as well.
Yes, you can. But it is worth it to say, like, they do require you to get the price that they quote you on their website. It is a fairly lengthy time you have to work in advance. So if you're a type of person who likes to wait to the last minute, you may not find yourself satisfied with that particular option, because it does get more expensive the more rush you make them, and they kind of limit it into a 2 week span. Like, you can't rush it over 2 weeks. So, but RA, on the other hand, they will rush it as fast as they can, which is, like I said, I really pushed it as an international shipper at a 3 day turnaround. And that was like, awesome, guys. You guys rock. So I was very happy with that option. If you need quick printing, wow, they really do deliver.
In a
they
pinch, deliver. that is what they do. And so so what I would say is that they're, you know, looking at Kablam, they're probably, if you don't look at shipping costs, because that can always fluctuate, the regular printing per book is maybe about 50 cents more per book.
But you are getting some really nice service.
Now, aside from that, what did you think about the printing quality, the coloring?
Well, see, that's where I was actually kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, I'm comparing my books side by side, and the stock that they use, I mean, I think I actually had a chance to specify the stock, but I wasn't sure what stock Kablam was using, so I couldn't pick the same stock to have RA use. And the stock that they used is a little thinner. It's a little bit more shiny, so some of the colors are a little bit, they're a little bit more to the cyan. They're cooler. And I find that I had them use a different stock for the cover. Like, it's not a self cover like the one from Kablam is. The Kablam one uses the same stock of paper stock all the way through, and it's just a self cover. This is actually the one from, I actually had them do a separate cover, and the cover is all right. The cover is okay. There is a definite color shift to the darker. It's a little more cyany, and it's very dark in comparison to the one that came from Kablam. Like, there's a very noticeable shadow difference, like, in the darker colors.
Right. My gradient in the background of the covers, if anybody has the Archer cover, you can see, like, there's a slight blue gradient to white in the background, and it's much more prominent in the RA Comics Depot. Now, I actually kind of liked the browns that came out.
I'm not complaining about, like, there are some things about it that are actually nicer than the other one, but it is definitely to the cyan. And the inside pages that were printed are on a stock that is definitely a cheaper stock. Like, it's more of a comic booky stock. Like, one thing RA does make claims to is to be able to do, like, kind of authentic newsprint comics on basically a digital press, like, on demand. They actually have newsprint and they print on it. This whatever this stock is, it's not a newsprint, but it looks a lot like it. It's got that sort of newsprinty texture, and you can see it through the ink of the pages. Like, I'm actually looking at the pages, and I'm looking at them, and it does render the colors darker. Like, it's much more dark and less poppy than what I got from Kablam as far as color's concerned. It's much more muted. It also, because of the texture of the paper, it isn't as nice. It doesn't weather as well. It's not as it didn't hold up as well through all of my schlepping it to conventions. I've got a lot of cracking along the edges and a bit of color peeling from some of the pages on the edges where it was trimmed.
You know, it kind of looks like Kami Express. Almost okay. I'm looking at all three of my books here that we've mentioned so far. Kablam seems to have the thickest paper, because I'm seeing it. Look, there's like text balloons behind this white area, and it looks like Kami Express's paper is for sure thinner than Kablam, and ever so slightly it looks like RA Comics Depot is also thinner than Comic Express. If that means anything to people. So.
Yeah, it's a pretty thin stock. It's probably a 50-pound text, is what I'm guessing. But it's also the texture of it that bothers me a little bit, as far as with the heavy, especially really heavy digital coloring. Like, it probably looked very nicer if it wasn't. I didn't have such dark and impressive ink coverage. My ink coverage is heavy and it's dark. It's probably bleeding through a little, which is. Most likely some of the reason for the darkness that I'm seeing in between. I'm not seeing any true bleed. Like, I'm not seeing pictures from the other side ghosting on one side of the paper, but it's definitely darker overall, and it's still seeing that cyan shift.
Okay.
It looks really good on the pages that do have cyan on them, but it doesn't look as nice on the ones that are red. They kind of look a little purpley.
All right. Is that all we got for RA?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I actually kind of thought when I got them that, they actually have a little bit, they seemed almost wet. I don't know if it was just, what that was exactly, but they seemed to dry out and it looked a little better, but they still, are definitely much dimmer and like at the colors and as vibrant. And I don't know, like, I actually think that the RA one ended up being closer to my screen, but my screen is calibrated to CYMK. So I was just a little disappointed with the inside pages. The cover's not bad, but the inside pages on that 50-pound stock are dimmer than I would have liked.
All right. I think Kablam uses 80. I'm not sure.
I thought it was like 70. But...
something like that. Yeah. All right. So we got to take another break now, and we'll be right back after the break.
There have been a lot of problems recently with the hurricane over which hit the east coast of the United States, the tsunami which hit Hawaii, and many other natural disasters. And we're going to try and do something about that.
We're setting up a Red Cross charity drive, an idea started by a pseudonym, one of my personal favorite artists. Basic idea is that there'd be a live group tiny chat that we'd set up for the Red Cross charity event. Anyone who comes in and donates any amount of money directly to the Red Cross during this event gets a sketch done live for them. This event has the chance to contribute to a good cause, get artists to network with others, and get us a chance to talk and hang directly with our audiences, and just have a great time together.
So make sure to tune in. And if you want more information, stop by webcastbeacon.com, or you can send an email to webcastbeacon@gmail.com for more information, or if you're interested in helping out.
Thank you very much for your support.
So last week I was having a fever, mm-hmm. and I was having a headache, and yet I ended up doing an almost 2-hour episode. And this particular episode is looking to be at least an hour and a half.
Well, it's a lot of good information though.
It is. It is a lot of good information, and I don't have Sean with me yet. I'm going to try to see if I can get him on to talk about Lightning Source, which has been something that has popped up in the Webcomic Beacon newscast, that recently they had changed a bunch of things about their color print-on-demand services or digital print-on-demand service that apparently, and I haven't used this yet, apparently it's dirt cheap. It's like black and white cheap to print color with them. Now, I haven't tried any of this, but I got to look into it, and I'd like to hear anybody's more or less recent, as in, like, from, like, fall of 2012 on. If you have any experiences, you can email us or post in the comment of this episode. But Sean of KingTractorPress.com, also of which who has sponsored this particular episode of the Webcomic Beacon, go to KingTractorPress.com and you can check out some of the comics that he has on there. But his two printed stuff right now, he has Innocent Volume 1 printed, as well as Family Bones Volumes 1 and 2. That's the whole thing is Volume 1 and 2. And we've mentioned them before, and I do like Family Bones. I think it's a really good graphic novel. And now he said he printed these on Lightning Source. Now this is before they changed their whole thing, but these are also, I don't know how many pages are in here, but you know, they're perfect bound. So it's not like issues that we're talking about here. So these are perfect bound, and they're black and white. And you know, I don't really have any, you know, qualms about the printing quality of this. I wouldn't say that it's absolutely perfect while looking through it, because it's also kind of hard because the art style changes every chapter almost in, I think, because he gets like different artists to do different chapters or whatnot. So that's also kind of interesting that the covers are really nice. They're like glossy covers. So I can only say so much right here. He said, Family Bones.
Does it have a laminate on the cover?
I'm not sure if it's a laminate or not. I mean, but you know, it's glossy. Family Bones printed with LightningSource.com, and Innocent was using Brenner Printing, which I believe is offset.
I think so, but they may also do digital. I mean, a lot of printers do both. Depending on what is most cost effective, they usually pick the whether it be offset or digital. Is it shiny? Is the ink shiny looking?
On the inside?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. it's got little glimmers here and there, but it's not as shiny as, like, say, Koblam's is, where it's like almost the whole black. All the like black lines are shiny, but there are occasional like glimmers here and there. Are we talking about the Brenner one?
Yeah,
The Brenner one is actually printed on newsprint, so it's not shiny at all. But
if it was printed digitally on newsprint, the ink would still appear shiny. So it is probably offset. Offset almost never looks shiny.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're using a varnish.
And the cover is actually a nice smooth cover, but it looks like it's supposed to be a matte as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't really see any printing issues with either of those companies as far as when he got these printed. I don't know when, but I'm going to say they're probably a year or more, well over a year ago that these particular ones were printed. And also, if you are listening to this episode and you could win, two people could win Family Bones 1 and 2 and Innocent Volume 1 by using this following keyword, point. That's it. It's just point. Email point as a keyword for this particular episode, the printing episode, to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And two people will get the three printed works of Sean Granger from KingTractorPress.com, which should be here with us today, but apparently is not here. I'll try to get him later if I can. I'll say at least his email is what he says. Family Bones I printed using LightningSource.com and Innocent was using Brenner Printing. While I loved Brenner, I actually loved the printing of Lightning Source better, and it is POD. If I did a nice, fantagraphic hardcover, I would use Brenner again, but not for paperbacks. Offset printing isn't always the best looking, depending on your price point. And that's basically what he was saying. So there's clearly a price point that was involved in his decision as well. But I'll try to get him on at another point, or at least get him to produce a comment on this episode's post once it goes up, at least talking about his experiences, if I can't record him in time. But remember, keyword, point, email that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com for your chance to win. Now we're going to move on to, I have only one other person that I printed with. How many other people have you printed with?
Well, for comics, I haven't printed any more comics since the ones I've got. I haven't sold all of them, so I wasn't going to print until I was pretty much, unless, well, I'm actually at will print. I will do I'm working on a second volume of Brimstone and a graphic novel for Shifter. So okay. Once I've got those worked out, I will print again. I've printed with other companies that do comics for other things. For example, I have printed with Transcontinental, which is well known for comic printing. Mm-hmm. But I would printed a magazine with them. I can speak to their print quality and the experience, of printing with them, with a magazine, which is similar to a comic, at least because it's saddle stapled and it's full color and right. All that sort of thing. So, I mean, I can speak to their print quality. But I didn't actually print the comics myself with them. And this was a pretty big run magazine. So we're talking offset and we're talking, a large quantity.
Yeah. That's the only thing when you're working with like offset printing and you have issues. Now, there might be arguments that about whether or not you should even bother with issues if you should just go right to the trade. And you do notice that a lot of web cartoonists that are better off, they don't do issues. They just do trades.
I'd have to say, just from my experience at conventions in the last 2 years, trades do seem to sell better than issues unless you have more than one. That seems to be the kicker. If you've got multiple issues, they do seem to sell. There are still people who like to collect them, but generally speaking, it seems that you want to just go straight for the trade if you can.
Especially since the page per dollar is so much of a better deal for a trade. Yeah, a trade might be $20, but $20 might only get you 4 issues, which is nowhere near the page count of, 150 page. Trade.
Well, it depends on how many pages you're looking at. I mean, basically 4 chapters ish for at least my comics, which are average about 32 to 34 pages a chapter.
But how much I've been selling my Ardor one at $5 because it is a 32 full color page, not a 24 color page.
I've been selling my 32 page. Well, it's 28 pages plus 4 cover, for $7, and I've still been selling them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been selling mine at $5, and I've been selling the Jenny Everywhere one that I also print for $4.50. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm lowballing, but it's also to be honest, I haven't really had a whole lot of success, probably because I'm not the artist at the table. That could be the thing. It also could be just we're too small, or maybe the cover doesn't look good. I don't know.
I think with selling work, I mean, yeah, I sell work, but I've had other people mind my table and sell comics while I wasn't there. So,
your stuff is just awesomer than what I have.
I don't know. It might be subject matter. I find that depending on the group, depending on where you are, like I do a lot of different conventions with different groups. Depending on which group I am selling to, certain things will have more appeal than others. Brimstone is a fantasy thing, so a lot of people buy into it fast.
Okay. Well, Ardor is really weird, and I'm trying to get into some local anime cons to get a table at an anime con, because I kind of think it might go over with that crowd a lot better than the other ones I've gone to. If you're a Western style-ish sort of comic and you're at an anime con, I totally feel for you. I had a really bad experience. I was like one of 3 people that had comics that we actually made ourselves versus just printing copyrighted characters of stuff we drew. And I was one of 2 people that had Western style stuff, and we're kind of lonely.
Yeah, you probably do better at like a science fiction fantasy convention, right? Or a pure comics thing.
I had no idea how much this was an anime con. It was Geek Con in Wisconsin,
but it turned into Anime Con.
Well, it was the 5th year there, and I remember it being a general convention. And when I went there, it was so obvious this is an anime gaming convention.
Ah.
So, you know, those are the breaks. Break it up, break it up. No, that, so yeah. The last printer that I printed with is IC Geeks. And they're at icgeeks.com. And IC Geeks Publishing actually contacted me on Twitter. They were really good because they knew what I was doing. So I got a lot of one-on-one with them behind the scenes and sort of thing like that. So there's that bias, I'm sure, that was there as well. But I don't think they like officially have like an open site. It's like, hey, you talk to them, see if you want to get your comic printed. And if they say, sure, we'll print your thing, then you're in. So it's not like, I don't think they have like a whole, they don't have an automated system at all. Let's see here. I got, basically it was around $2, less than $2 at the time. But they ended up sending me a free copy and then charged me for shipping. So I am noting that for sure. But the problem I ran in with, now this might be an issue of my file that I sent them. I don't think it was at all. But when I first got back the first print, there was artifacting. That is, you know, if you see like a really bad JPEG where like by like a line or like in a big blob of color, and then you see by the edges, it's kind of like blocky and stuff. It's kind of when you pause a DVD in a really fast motion, like in a fast, speedy section of the movie, you might see artifacting. And I emailed him and was like, dude, there's totally artifacting in this. And we were trying to figure out, apparently there was a process that there was a conversion that happened and he adjusted something and it came back and it was still there, but less so. So again, I work with very hard colors and flat colors and I couldn't figure out why this was happening. It might have been my file. But I did end up seeing somebody else at a convention that had their comic printed through IC Geeks. And I looked at theirs. They had like a lot of gradients and shadows and stuff. And I was looking really, really hard. Like in the Arger stuff I printed, I even saw some artifacting around the dialogue. Because that's just white, black and white. And that is an issue. But when you have a whole dollar difference between, you know, them and somebody else, it can be very attractive. So maybe their type of printing, if it's constantly like this, works better for when people got a lot of gradients and where you can't see that whole lot of thing. Maybe it just doesn't work best for flat colors, however their process might be. I don't know. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they were very, very nice to me. Somebody else might have a better chance than me. Maybe it was my file, but at this point I was kind of really getting, you know, tired on doing all these like these print things. I gotta say they had very good service because they were working with me, probably because of the project that I was trying to do. You can contact them yourself and see if you can get something printed there and then get a proof of it and see how it looks. But that was my personal experience. And like I said, I did see something that was printed by them elsewhere that looked a lot better than what I had. So it could have been, you know, purely my fault. But those are all four of my particular experiences with printing.
I printed with a lot of people. Unfortunately, not all of them comics. I would like to personally, like in the future, like I do intend to print more and I do want to try a graphic novel and I would like to try to work with some local printers. I think there's advantages to working with local printers. There are a lot of printers now that do digital work if you ask them for lower quantities. Some of them will not do like one, especially when you're dealing with a more professional printer. But, you know, if you're doing 50 or 100, when you start getting up to 100, you start, you know, getting some pretty good quantities. I kind of look at 25 as my minimum quantity. But if you're going up that way, I did want to mention a comic printer, at least in Canada, that does adult comics. If anybody's tried them, I'm kind of curious about their quality. here, if anybody has tried, it's called Sips Comics, and they're actually up here in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, in Victoria, BC. And they are one of the few that openly advertise that they do adult comics. And they do, their minimum quantity is 100, but their prices per unit are pretty reasonable. They don't seem to do graphic novels. They seem to do issue-based comics. And they have specs and stuff on their page, which I believe, Fess, you're going to have in the show notes.
Yes.
Yes. So if anybody has printed with them, I would be really, really interested to know what their experience was.
Yeah, me too. but there's a particular caveat you want to mention about adult
comics?
Yes,
I did want to mention about adult comics, specifically too, regarding getting them to Canada and shipping them from Canada to the US, is that there is generally some squeamishness at the border regarding adult material, specifically coming into Canada. If you are a purveyor of adult material or wish to print adult material, and you're looking for a printer, if you're in Canada, I would highly suggest using a Canadian printer, because shipping within Canada is far more safe than trying to ship it from the US up to Canada. That includes gay and lesbian material. It can be seized at the border. There have been issues with it in the past, in terms of getting it across, going into Canada. Shipping it out of Canada seems fine. We seem to be able to ship our smut fine. Getting it into Canada seems to be an issue. So if you are, you are a purveyor of adult comics and you want to get, them in Canada, it would be best to actually print them in Canada and ship them to a hotel if you're coming up here for a convention, than it would be to have them shipped back down to the US and then try to bring them up or ship them up at a later date. It would probably be, better to print locally if you can, just because of the inherent difficulties of getting things across the border. It doesn't seem to be a problem to go down. So like Americans, feel free, to use the service if you do, but I would not suggest for it, you know, to try to ship your stuff back into Canada, leave it in Canada with a friend or whatever and have them ship it to your hotel. Don't try to bring it across the border. Yeah, it'd be very embarrassing if they searched you and stole all your stuff.
It would be more embarrassing if they also then arrested you for trafficking.
Yes, that would also be very embarrassing.
Because that's happened in the past year.
Yes. So don't do that. If you are going to print, you're going to a Canadian convention, print in Canada. If you are a Canadian who deals in adult material, print in Canada. Don't go outside of US into the US to print. You will not get your stuff.
Yeah. So there.
There.
Let's see here. Are there any other printing places that we need to talk about? Do you think we've covered everything we need to?
I think we've covered most of the big ones that I've heard of. And one of the ones that I think are more generally used. I'm sure there are smaller ones, and I know there are people who have printed their stuff locally. So I always encourage people to look at local printing companies before they go outside so that they can work with somebody, especially if it's your first time, somebody who can actually physically get in their space and see the machines and understand the process, and they can help walk you through it.
And no shipping.
Yeah, no shipping. That can, even if you're paying a little bit more per book on initial, like you got to factor in that shipping cost, which does sometimes get pretty high if you're shipping a lot of paper because it's heavy.
Yes, heavy.
Yes. So
or if you even go, if you do ship a lot of paper and you're in the media rate, it then takes a long time to actually get it if you like media mail rate.
Yeah.
But
so if you can do that, do give it a shot. Try working with somebody who's local. If they can give you, like, there are a lot of printers that now do digital on-demand stuff as long as you go in and talk to them. Sometimes they're not going to advertise it as much as you're going to have to go in and ask for a quote.
Right. And we've had, oh man, what the hell is his name? The guy that does, Gordon from Multiplex. He says he's gotten his comic books, his volume one, printed at a place that basically printed yearbooks. He somehow found a link at one point in time and contacted them and got his comic printed in the off season. This requires more work of you, yes, but if you want a better rate, that might be just the way to go. Yes, comics are do-it-yourself here if you are not signed on. But also, if you're signed on, you might not get as much of a profit back on that. So there's a give and take for everything.
Absolutely. Do your research.
Yes. And also, be careful if you're printing large amounts of things in other countries. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Ryan North and Dinosaur Comics or somebody big like that, where they got a big giant Kickstarter. They got a whole bunch of books printed. The company went under and he didn't have, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars worth of print anywhere. Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, that is an issue that can potentially happen, especially if it's not a very well-established foreign company.
Yes. China. Cough. China.
Yeah. That's, you know, and also I'm also more of a fan, if you can, support the local businesses if you can, or invest in America if you will. But, you know, those are options that you all have to weigh upon yourself. And what you want to do.
There's less
with
of
that.
A language barrier, too. Yes. If you're dealing with North America.
Less of a carbon footprint. But.
Mm-hmm. less of a arguing over points.
Yes,
in,
yes, yes.
Opposite languages. Especially if you've never done it before.
Yes.
Like if you are new to printing, really, it helps to have somebody who speaks your language walking you through the process.
All right, there. I've tried, but there is no better place to try to splice in my conversation with Sean Granger of Family Bones and of KingTractorPress.com. We ended up talking for like almost 30 minutes about his experiences in working with both offset printing as well as digital printing with Lightning Source. A lot of good information. So please give a listen to this next segment. And I promise you that when we're done with Sean's segment, there's only but a few minutes more as we close the show. So this is a huge episode, and thank you for listening. And I will go and splice in the Sean's interview now.
So as promised, kind of promised, so aptly mentioned, I did end up getting Sean later in the day, and we are now with him, and I'm going to be putting this into the show at some point that hopefully it seems logical. And so I'm here with, you know what, I have a feeling I might have been saying your name incorrectly for years. Is it Sean Granger or Sean Granger?
It's Granger, but you know, that's a nice accent, so maybe I should start going with that. Granger.
Okay, so it is Granger. Okay.
Yeah.
Only ironically, I think for this show, I was starting to call you Granger because there's no I in there. So I don't know, but
that's all right. It's an English name, so we
you add pronunciation to letters that aren't there.
Yeah.
Now you've worked with, you've sponsored the show many times before and presently this particular episode and with this particular episode, I've mentioned it a couple of times, but we're giving away, copies of Family Bones Volume 1 and 2 and of Innocent. There can be two winners on this particular episode. Keyword point. If you email it to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and you can get all the printed works that he's done. So let's start with what you first started printing. And I think you said that was Family Bones.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I started making comics, printing in 2006, and it was a lot different than it is now. So, back in 2006, luckily I was good friends with a bunch of people who had been doing comics for a long time. So I kind of listened to their advice and then also made some of the same mistakes they told me not to do. and I did it. But basically in 2006, the print on demand was brand new. I mean, there weren't like comic friendly print on demands. And so we were kind of we were still stuck with doing the old 2,000 print runs, and for Family Bones at the beginning that was great. So I used Morgan Printing. I've used Quebecor and Brenner. And then I tried to use the Canadian company I was working with.
Transcontinental?
No, the one that used to do Cerebus.
Oh, okay.
I think it's PV or I think I'd look it up. But the but they were ready to do their books because they had a great deal. It was 2,000 books, I think it was, or 1,500 books, black and white, color cover, $800.
That's pretty good.
No, it was a great deal. I mean, even, everyone was doing it. That's why Cerebus was, they had all printed all their books. But their quality wasn't great. So a lot of people, once they started, getting better, they didn't really want to do it because the quality of the paper was still newsprint. That's all they did.
Okay.
So it was nice, but, at that time, it was a lot of people were going to graphic novels, and so they folded up. And
you mentioned Brenner, right?
Yeah, Brenner's.
Well, yeah, and I used that for earlier. You used that for Innocent, didn't you not?
Yes, I did use Brenner for Innocent. So for the graphic novel, not for the singles.
Right.
For the graphic novel, because I did singles. I have printed singles, and then I also my graphic novels were all collected from singles. So I used them and I loved working with them as well. But so I recommend, if you're at the point when I was doing Family Bones and when I was doing Innocent, even from Diamond, I was still getting over 2,000 or initial orders per book. So it made sense. Okay. I have a definite sale of 2,000 books. I'll print 2,000 books, and there wasn't a huge profit margin, but it still was, it made money. But once the Diamond started getting kind of wonky and the singles, the sales started slipping with singles just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And Diamond changed the rules. I can't remember if it was 2007 or 2008, but of what their minimums were. We're still meeting minimums, but and the percentage they wanted was, they raised a little bit.
Bastards.
So it just got, yeah. So it got so that we couldn't, I was just breaking even. So that's when I started looking for print on demand for singles. I still was doing the graphic novels through Brenner, and some of the others, but, there's a local printer here that I found that does cell phone pamphlets.
Okay.
And so they do it all print on demand. So I could tell it was all really high quality because I didn't know it was print on demand. They had some really, really nice printers. And this was probably 2007. But they'd never printed a comic book or even a real book. Really know what to do about it. They didn't have the format down. They didn't have, I probably spent, a good 6 months, showing them, okay, this is what I need. And they would print something and it would come out and it would be the inks would be off or the format was off. It was really difficult kind of training them to do that. Also the prices were sky high. So to do one single cost $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
So, at that point now I've literally made no money. And one of my goals from the beginning was always, I never wanted to do singles if the cover price was going to be more than $3.50, because I'll buy $3.50, but after that, then personally, I start thinking, well, I'll just wait for the trade. So if I was going to do singles, I want it to something that people would buy. And I know there are examples out there where people will, you know, they sell them for $5-6 and people buy them. But just personally, I got into comics when they were, 50 cents. So I, the idea of being able to go in with $10 and having a stack of comics is kind of, that appeals to me more than just. So I trained them. That just became, I did like two issues. I think I did two issues of Family Bones with this company that's in Chino Hills in California. And they look great, but it just was, I was basically paying people after all the diamond discounts, everything. Mm-hmm. I was paying people to take the books, and it's just no way. So, but I have a friend out here who, Matt Nastos, who also is, he used to do, ElfQuest. And he's an artist in ElfQuest. He was a director for this little show called Phineas and Ferb.
The little show.
Yeah, he's done quite a lot. I mean, his resume. So we're good friends, and he was also, he has a book called Cadre, and he was also looking for to get out of the printing like 3,000 copies at the same time. So we kind of went together and looking for new places. And there's a website called the Small Press Association, SBA, where a bunch of us kind of got together, and there was a guy from, I think it was from Kentucky or Tennessee, who had a small print shop down there, and a lot of us. So I printed a couple of the Innocent singles from him, and his was also POD, but the problem was the like one issue was great, then the next issue was really bad. One of the issues, I printed a book by Stephen Barr, who he's a screenwriter called Devil's Water.
Okay.
Because back then, actually, King Tractor Press, we printed a lot more. We had a lot more titles. Now I kind of focus on my own thing.
Okay.
Just because of how the industry's gone. But back then, I did a lot more editing, and we printed through this guy in Tennessee. But the problem was, the comic book business is such a low margin. So first book came out great, looked great. Second book, the middle of the book was printed backwards. He had gotten so many orders, it was delayed. So instead of sending it to me, I said, just send it to Diamond because I'm out of time. They got to get the books. So they got the books, and lo and behold, and when I got my proof, the middle of the book was backwards. And I was like, oh my God. So I called Diamond, and then I had him rerun the whole run and send the whole thing to Diamond again, with apologies to all the dealers, because, hopefully everyone got, the fixed copy, because we sent it to them for free. Everyone who ordered them. It was just crazy. So those first few years, there was a lot of small publisher or small printers that were doing the print on demand.
Yeah.
And we just used a lot of them. And Kablam started, Indie Planet started, and so I've used all of them. At this point, kind of fast forward. So fast forward at this point now, what I really do is for singles, and I don't print that many, but for shows, some I do print some. But basically, the quality for Kablam and Indie Planet has really gotten to the point of there really is no reason to do singles and with any of like the Brenner or with the Morgan.
Right. But there also seems to be a trend that singles don't even really sell all that well anymore anyway.
it seems.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, so with Family Bones, a good example. So for the first issue, I sold over like 5,000-6,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, up until I was doing that well up until like it hit like I think 2007, 2008, we got up to about issue 6. And then it literally like just dropped. And so, but at the same time, I released, when issue 6 came out, I released the graphic novel of the first 5 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then those kept selling as high as the singles were. So then when my second issue, the second graphic novel came out from Family Bones, I mean, the writing was on the wall. It was like the singles weren't selling. The last few issues, the singles didn't sell in the hundreds, but the graphic novel still sold thousands. Huh. So it's, you know, it just kind of came to the point of it was just not worth it to do the singles anymore. But there's still people who like them. And
right.
You can you know, there's still a reason to do them. I mean, mm-hmm. especially for shows. And if you're doing something in segments, it's not that hard to do like a single, you know, for my singles, like for the Family Bones, I was able to get other writers and creators from the Midwest. Cause I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where the story or around that area takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of people who were, that were, you know, from that area to write in. The guy who, Invincible, what is it? Well, it was other creators, from the Midwest. So, and that was neat. I mean, you put extra stuff in the singles and it's kind of fun and you go to shows and you can have the singles out there. But really, to be honest, it's everyone wants the graphic novel printed. So, it just makes more sense to really focus your energies on what people want to buy.
Right, right. So I'd like you to tell us about, we don't got that much more time here, so if you could just tell us about your experience in getting the Family Bones graphic novels printed through Lightning Source, was it?
Yeah, so the Family Bones I did, the original batch I did through traditional printers, but then it continues to sell pretty well. And so it didn't make sense to keep on doing like thousands of copies every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and researched, and I found that Lightning Source, there's a bunch of benefits of Lightning Source. So Lightning Source is a kind of a little printing company, but it is owned by Ingram, which is one of the largest book distributors.
Oh.
And I'll get to the benefits of that, but the Lightning Source, and when CreateSpace started with Amazon's print on demand, it was using Lightning Source to print its books. So when I found out that through some contacts that I had in the printing world, so I tried them out for one of my reprints of Family Bones, and to be honest, I mean, there's no way you could tell. The printing was so good. They're using these really, really expensive printers. Now, what they do and what, so this, I don't know how much this is advertised or if this is some secret I'm not supposed to share, but so basically what they do is all the books that you like that they distribute that are kind of older titles that maybe are not like the biggest, they're not going to sell. They may sell like 10 a month, maybe 50 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not selling a ton. So they don't want to, every time it sells, they don't want to store 2,000 copies. And every time it sells 10, they ship them 10.
Right.
So what the whole idea of Lightning Source was let's get it to the point where we can, we don't have to store anything. When a bookstore orders 10 copies of this book, we can just print right then 10 copies, give it to them, and we keep the cost down. So the quality, when I did the first Family Bones, I was blown away because the quality looks, does not look like any print on demand. Now, that was, I think I did that. I started doing that in 2009. Now a lot of the print on demand printers have gotten a lot better. Kablam has gotten a lot better. You know, IndiePlant, all the people who create space has gotten that. Now they use their own printers. They kind of learn from, the Lightning Source, and they have their own printers for Amazon because Amazon can afford it.
Yeah. I also heard that Lightning Source also upped the game a bit. There was like a press release or whatever that happened like a few months ago where they said that now if you want printed color stuff, it's super, super cheap is what basically they're touting about. Yeah.
So that's the new thing. Lightning Source has done some... they've expanded. They have more options to print now, because at first it was pretty limited to what you could do. They still are not newbie friendly. They expect you to know how to print, and it's not free like CreateSpace. So you have to have your own ISBN. I mean, you have to act like a business. You cannot act like, you know, you want to just print this off for mom and pa. If that was someone's goal, I would not use it. But
do you have to have an ISBN?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That can be some trouble for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lightning Source is, if you're not treating it like a business, like your own publisher, Lightning Source is probably not for you because they are treating you as a publisher. And you will be treated in the same way that any other publisher gets treated. And that includes they expect you to know how to publish.
Hmm.
So don't, you know, that's not an option for people who are just, you know, have known nothing. It would not be the best. I would not recommend it. But that having said, their printing is top notch. You will not get any better. You might find some people that can print as well. And now they introduce color at a really, really reasonable rate. So all of us who went to black and white, you know, sometimes it's for choices and sometimes it's just because of how much it costs.
Hmm.
Now color is an option. And it's a really good option with, Lightning Source. So if you're, you know, if you've got some publishing chops and you kind of know what you're doing, or know someone that knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. then Lightning Source is a really, really good option for color now. The prices have come down a lot, mm-hmm. and you can sell a book. So the benefits of them being owned by Ingram is that Ingram will pick up your book. So if you print through Lightning Source, you can then sell through Ingram.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So Ingram will publish your book around the world. So one of the best emails I ever got was someone who was in a bookstore in France, and they looked up on the shelf and they had Family Bones up on the shelf at this French bookstore.
Huh.
Which I know had to be from Ingram's. I'm sure Diamond might sell to France, but I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think they're just the U.S.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great option. Before we wrap up on it, one other option is definitely local printers. I was talking about Matt with his. He's got a new book coming out next year. I wrote one of the issues, so I'm kind of vested in it. But the called Elf Song. It's kind of like Elf Quest. So if people that like it would, if they liked Elf Quest, they definitely would like Elf Song. But what he did was, he knew everyone else, but he found a local printer that printed traditional books. And since all the big business has been going out, that they needed more business. So they're looking at smaller, publish run,
mm-hmm.
and not being, because it used to be that if you were doing 2,000 copies, they kind of, you know, were, they didn't care about you at all.
Yeah.
But now they are. So he's going with like a local printer, giving a deal, which, and when I started 2006, if you were only doing a couple thousand print, you would, there was no way you could get any good deals, local. And it's just changed completely. So, so it's an option for people, but yeah, definitely Lightning Source. Oh, and another thing about Lightning Source though, you have to know is it does, it's not reasonable for singles. So if you're doing singles, Lightning Source is not a good option. Cause
what do you think their minimum page would be?
Well, you can do like minimum page of like, I think it's around, don't quote me, but I think it's around 60 pages.
Oh, okay.
But I've done all the breakdowns of cost per page, and you really need to do a graphic novel size. So, I mean, I wouldn't, because you have to pay for inclusion. You have to pay. There's a lot of fees you're going to involve by doing Lightning Source.
Okay.
So if you're doing, you know, a $3 book or, you know, $4 book even, you're end up, it's just not worth it.
Even if you have like a large unit amount?
It doesn't really help you with large units.
Okay.
Because print on demand, it costs them the same as if you print 100 or 1,000. They don't, the way, this would be a long conversation, but the way it works with traditional, there are ways technically you can save, the printer can save money by you doing 5,000 copies.
Okay.
But print on demand, it literally is like your printer, kind of. There's a little bit different because the sheets are huge.
So would you say at least 100 pages?
Yeah. So I wouldn't do anything that was under like 120 pages with them. I wouldn't. You're that's the best cost. Plus, you know, look, price your books. Go out there, find out what people are paying for a book that's like 150 to, you know, 130 pages. And that's when you're going to start getting the price where, you know, people are going to pay $10 for your books or $11 for your book.
20, actually. I think a lot of people I've seen with, at like going at conventions, 20 seems to be about where people are, at least are charging for 150 page books approximately.
Yeah, it depends. Now, if you add color, you know.
Well, I'm talking color. Sorry.
So if you add color, that's an added value. Everything's an added value.
Right.
But you know, what's crazy, color, if you do the numbers, color is not as big of an added value as we as creators tend to think. It just isn't. You can sell, you may, your percentage of added sales is not as high as the added cost used to be, but with it going down now, it's kind of evening out. So
yeah.
I mean, with Lightning Source now, your cost is not that, the percentage higher is not that great, so that you may, that added benefit is probably worth it.
Cool.
So, but there's a lot of options, and like I said, printing is a huge topic, so we could probably go on for days talking about
it. Right, and with this extra piece here that we've just recorded, in addition to what I've already recorded with Marie, I'll probably have to like make this an entirely separate segment and splice it in somewhere for an additional break and have a 2-hour or so podcast. But there's a lot of good. There's been a lot of good and great information in this whole show. So hopefully, people will get a lot out of this 2 hours because they have no choice. It's 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? It wouldn't even be that bad to follow up if people had questions and make another.
Certainly, there might be even more questions, and people can also email us or make a comment in here. And if there is enough information, we can certainly look at doing another show on printing. Sean, I do have to close this off. But thanks for being able to come back on, come on to the show and talk about your experiences.
Thanks a lot.
All right. And I don't know if we're going to go to break next or go right back to our show. But once again, you can find Sean Granger and his works at kingtractorpress.com. And if there's any other questions which we have not answered, or if you have information from your own experiences that you think you might be helpful, email us. Or probably bestly, well, you can email us, or also post in a comment if we get enough information that would warrant a part two of this episode where we can have more perspective and experiences. I'm all for that. That is all we got for this particular episode, unless I end up splicing something else in. This is it. Once again, this is a prize episode, so email point, the word point, to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and you can be one of two people to win Sean Granger's printed works, The Complete Family Bones, as well as Volume 1 of Innocent. Don't forget that we also have other prizes that are available on the website right now, with deadlines coming up, including albums from The Double Clicks and Molly Lewis, a personalized voicemail message from myself, Mark Savory, Witchy Bunny, or Michael Corley. We've got a few more coming up for December as well. I might extend some deadlines here and there. Also, before we go, one big thing happening on December 1st is going to be an artist's charity drive. On December 1st, multiple artists will be gathering online to do some live drawing to get people to donate to the Red Cross or Benny Fund to help out with Hurricane Sandy victims and others. These organizations can do a lot more with your money. Don't send them stuff because they know what they need. Don't just have a rally and get people to donate stuff because that wastes their resources to come and get it. Send them money. They can do a lot more with the money as a larger organization, bulk buys and special deals with companies. So what people can do is on December 1st, you can join them at tinychat.com/webartistcharity. And basically you donate to, like, say the Red Cross or Benny Fund, use the in honor of features, and then email. There's going to be an email address here where you email essentially the receipt with your donation of any amount. The minimum might be like $10 though. Then you can ask for something to be drawn and it'll be drawn live. So basically, you know, artists work, it's kind of like a telethon kind of. You make a donation, show that you've donated. This has been done before in some other events as well. So we've got some artists. We got Pseudonym, Magi, Mindswipe, Ian Sampson, Kitty Hawk, Penny Candies, John Lotshaw, Joe England, JMD, Freeglass, and Katie Tydrich. Those are the only ones that we have confirmed for right now for artists for this event. So I encourage everybody to check it out. Once again, December 1st, there'll be a link. There's a link on the Webcast Beacon website, and I'll put a link in this particular episode show notes as well, so you can find that. That is all for this episode.
It sounds like your voice is starting to give out, so this is definitely it.
Once again, this has been Fess of ArgerComic.com. Oh, sorry, you're not used to this. And then you say that who you are and where you're from.
And this is Marie Terry from EvilSpaceCat.com.
And congratulate us for 5 years of sticking around and doing the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Woo!
All right.